This is Resonance 104.4 FM. My name's Jack Thurston and you're listening to The Bike Show. This week we're broadcasting from the Tate Modern, and you can hear in the background some of the sounds of the Bruce Nauman exhibition. And it's pretty appropriate that we're here in the Turbine Hall, where science meets art, because this week we're talking about Kraftwerk, the seminal German electronic band, and playing particular focus to their obsession with cycling. And I'm delighted to be joined by two Kraftwerk aficionados, Maisie Hitchcock and Chris Bloor. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi there.
Maisie, Kraftwerk, what made them so original?
Well, I think they were one of the first bands to use technology to such a great extent in their work compared to other groups. They were quite groundbreaking. They made their own equipment, they made their own keyboards, and technology was basically an integral part of the music, whereas with other bands it had been used to make the music. Their music was more about the technology itself, and they're very influential. They're thought of as the godfathers of both techno and industrial music. I mean, that's debated. Some people think that industrial music was something which came along later, but if you listen to some of Kraftwerk's mid-period records, there's a big industrial feel to them. The use of sampled metal and things like, or metal bashing, as it were.
So as well as using technology to make their music, they used their music to comment on technology. And one of the first things that they were interested in was transportation. Could you tell us a little bit about the early records that were to do with transport?
Well, their first big hit album was Autobahn, which was released, I think, in 1974, which is all about travelling on the German motorway. Basically, they used the car as an instrument. They sampled, I'm not sure they actually sampled car sounds, but they recreated sounds of an autobahn, cars going past other cars, engines, car doors slamming, and then they built that up into a kind of rhythm and used it as the basis for a whole album, kind of going from one track into the next, but using this central autobahn rhythm as the kind of backbone of the record.
Okay, well, let's hear a bit of Autobahn.
Thank you.
that was Autobahn, and it wasn't just cars that they were interested in. They moved on to talk about trains and make music about trains, didn't they?
Yes, they made, I think, I could be wrong, but I think this was 1977, they made Trans-Europe Express, which was all about trains and travelling across Europe in the Trans-Europe Express.
Chris, you saw Kraftwerk at the Brixton Academy last year. Did they play Trans-Europe Express?
Yeah, they did. They played a lot of the old stuff. They played Autobahn and Trans-Europe Express. I think it's amazing, as what Maisie was saying, is this came out in 1974, and they produced a 25-minute long track called Autobahn about driving on a motorway, and it actually was commercially successful. And I think that if you're in concert, you're watching them in concert, and it's basically for now 50-something blokes in front of keyboards not really doing very much. And yet it was the most absorbing concert I've seen in ages, in years. They are absolutely not animated. As far as they get is, I think that people noticed that one of them started tapping their toes at one point, and the crowd went up in some ecstatic amount of applause. But apart from that, they are absolutely standing behind keyboards, just playing 20, 25-minute tracks.
What makes it so compelling? It sounds like it might be something quite boring. Is it the sound is just so strong, or you're just witnessing something that's so important?
I think it's a combination of the two. I mean, I was in some awe of them because they're such a sort of legendary group of musicians, and you feel privileged to actually hear them playing at all. But in terms of their technical ability, it's amazing. But the sound they're producing is remarkably fresh, given that we're now 30 years down the track, and we're now listening to stuff that sounds as fresh as anything else that comes out at the moment.
Well, let's listen to a track from the Trans-Europe Express album. This is from the original German release, and it's a track called Abzug. Maisie, how do we get from an album about driving a car and an album about riding on a train across Europe to riding a bike?
Well, I think Kraftwerk's love affair with technology just before Tour de France had started to kind of sour a little, you could say, because whilst they'd always been celebrating technology and machinery, it started to kind of... technology for Kraftwerk had seemed to have a kind of darker side, which they'd been exploring with Computer World, which was more about using technology for espionage and banking, profiting out of machinery. And I think...
So there's a kind of ambiguous relationship with technology can do good and can do harm.
Yes, and I think it, with Tour de France, they were reclaiming technology as a force for good. And I think it marked a new era for craftwork in terms of them seeing technology as man and machine having a much more egalitarian relationship. Man isn't a victim of the machine, but the machine isn't completely controlled by the man, and it's a harmonious relationship. And they're integral. I mean, a bike can't work without a man, and a man can't get as far without a bike.
And a bicycle famously can't go backwards.
Exactly, you know, in keeping with their, you know, future vision.
How did they make the record, Tour de France, the EP from 1983?
Well, I think they sampled one of the band members using a bicycle pump and also a bike wheel turning. They also ran up and down the stairs before laying down the vocals in order to get the impression that the singer was out of breath. And they sampled, I think it's Hütter breathing, or Schneider, I'm not sure. And they also use a lot of cycling vernacular in the lyrics. They refer to us all pedalling in a high gear ratio, and that's in French, so it sounds a bit more exotic.
How does this track conjure up what it's like to be riding in a competitive road race?
Well, I think that the way that they put it together is interesting, because cycling, it's extremely hard. I mean, Jack, you mentioned when we both went up the Galibier, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. I was half dead by the top. But it's all about measured effort, and you can't be overly enthusiastic about it, especially on a hill. And you've got to be efficient. And the record itself is incredibly efficient, and it really just sort of build its way up into a very, very efficient, measured rhythm, which is exactly what you've got to be producing on a bike in those sort of circumstances. So in that sense, it's actually incredibly apposite as a piece of music to think about when you're cycling. And you've got all these breathing sounds there and wheels turning and everything like that. And suddenly you are into this sort of realm of it's almost state of grace, where you and the bike are actually working together and you're going up a hill. And it's an amazing feeling when it happens. And the record itself actually seems to encapsulate that quite well.
Well, we've talked about it enough. Let's put it on. So the Tour de France record was also picked up by the hip-hop and breakdancing community. It wasn't the first time that there's been a crossover, because of course Trans Europe Express was sampled by Afrika Bambaataa and was also a big influence on a lot of the early techno music coming out of Detroit. Do you remember going to see breakdance in the early 80s, Chris?
Very, very vaguely. I wasn't particularly cool in the early 80s, so it wasn't really high on my agenda at the time. I think more football stickers at the time, to be honest with you. But it seems that Kraftwerk's influence it sort of permeates all sorts of areas. I was listening to Tom York, I think, on Radio 2 last year, and his gig in the sky involved going to see Kraftwerk. So I felt very much at one with Tom when I was went to see them at the Brixton Academy last year. If you look at Radiohead, for instance, they're very much into technology and making up little gizmos that they make noises out of, and Kraftwerk's the same sort of thing. They're making noises, they're sampling odd little loops and putting them onto records and with amazing success.
Maisie, how did cycling enter into the everyday lives of the members of Kraftwerk?
Well, they started a cycling group called Rad Sportgruppe Schneider, after Florian Schneider, and they all would go out in the afternoon or the morning and dressed in black, because they decided they had to wear a uniform, because to go with the uniformity of the, you know, the cycling group, and also to reflect the fact that they were recording at night and drinking lots of coffee. Their main other preoccupations apart from technology. So they would go out together. I think there were other members of the group, apart from Hütte and Schneider, who weren't so enthusiastic. Wolfgang Fluhr actually had to learn to cycle in order to join the Rad Sportgruppe Schneider, which he deeply resented and probably still does. But they would go out and do lots of cycling together as a kind of means of de-stressing and distracting themselves from kind of any kind of internal problems within the group.
I've heard stories about one or two of them just disappearing during a recording session for a couple of days to do some enormous ride. Is that true?
Yes, well, Schneider did actually go off one day on a crazy, one of his daily 200-kilometre cycle rides, and had a terrible accident. I think he was in the Alps and nearly cracked his head open and woke up in a hospital kind of, I don't know, a few days later. And, you know, his first words when he woke up were, you know, "Where's my bike?" which others found a bit disturbing. But it kind of, you know, it shows how fanatic he was about it.
But the Tour de France record itself was just an EP, and it took 20 years for them to return to the subject and make an album. Why do you think that was? Why do you think it took them so long to get back to cycling as a subject in their music?
Well, I think it was the two other members of the group who weren't as interested in cycling. And I think once they jettisoned the other two, Bartos and Fluhr, it was much easier for them to make it into a whole album, because Hütte had originally said, "I'd like to make this into an album," in 1983, and the others had said, "No, you know, we don't want that." And I think they were the main problem.
So, Chris, do you think cycling may have actually caused the splitting of Kraftwerk into two parts?
Well, I don't know, but I suspect that that certainly Hütte and Schneider's obsession with cycling would have created some problems with the other two, given that they weren't quite as into it as they were. And I've certainly read bits of Karl Barthes's book when he's very vitriolic and critical of Hütte and Schneider. And some of that's based on the fact that they just simply didn't get the whole cycling thing. And I suppose that once obsession has gone to that extent, then there's really no way forward for the group as a result. And Bartos left under a cloud.
What struck you about the album, the 2003 Soundtracks album?
As someone who sort of flirts with cycling a little bit, it's something that I find an incredibly interesting experience just listening to it. Sadly enough, I'm one of those people that has a turbo trainer at home and gets on my bike during the cold winter months, and you pop on 2003 Soundtracks and let yourself go, and it actually does help. Sadly enough, as you're there sweating away in your front room, listening to the sounds of Kraftwerk, making your pedalling that much more efficient and your cycling that much more enjoyable from there.
Well, let's listen to a track from the 2003 Soundtracks album. This is Aerodynamique. You're listening to The Bike Show on Resonance 104.4 FM. That was Aerodynamique by Kraftwerk from their 2003 album Tour de France Soundtracks. Now, Maisie, Kraftwerk took most things pretty seriously. They took their cycling pretty seriously as well. And you've dug up a quote by one of the band members that expresses that. Do you want to share that with us?
Yes, I think it sums up the Kraftwerk ethos very well, very nicely. It's from actually taken from Pascal Boussy's fantastic book about Kraftwerk called Kraftwerk, Man, Machine and Music.
This is Ralf Hütter.
This is what he says about cycling. No, it's not for a holiday. It's the man machine. It's me, the man machine, on a bicycle. In the same way the music, Kraftwerk, the man machine. Holidays are an alienation, a consumption concept. To relax ourselves, we ride the bicycle. It's enough. We are liberated from holidays.
What do you think about that, Chris?
Well, obviously, he's not a particularly relaxed sort of guy. But then again, cycling isn't exactly a relaxed sort of pastime. And once you are getting into the realms of flogging your way up hills in the Alps, then I suppose that it's not really a holiday at all. And I'm sure a lot of people don't really understand why cyclists go on these little jaunts.
I mean, do you think the term cycling holiday is a bit of a contradiction?
I think so. I mean, certainly when I've ever been on cycling holidays, I've lost a colossal amount of weight and been incredibly tired, saddle sore. But I suppose the sort of elation of actually getting to the top of the hills makes it worthwhile for me anyway. And I know it does for you as well, Jack. But I think that the vast majority of the population may beg to differ with me on that.
Okay, well, let's have another track from the 2003 Soundtracks album. This is Electrocardiogram.
Thank you.
Maisie, do you think they're going to be coming back and doing any more live shows or producing any more albums?
Well, I think they've had a very good response to the last, particularly the shows. I'm not so sure about the records. I mean, Expo 2000, I think you'd all rather forget. But I think the Tour de France is a very good example of where they can pick up on an old idea and kind of and create it, make it something new.
I mean, how much of the album do you think was recycling an old concept? Or do you think they actually did a good job of making something new?
I think what they did was they did a very, very good job of aping their old sound. What they'd done is, after Tour de France, they lost their touch a bit. They started producing things like Electric Cafe and The Mix, which was just a remix of old tracks, which I don't think was very, very successful. In terms of musically, it wasn't very successful. And I think what they did with Tour de France is they actually managed to kind of pick up on what the fans wanted and return to a very old sound. And it does sound quite like a very 80s album in some ways, but 80s, good 80s rather than bad 80s.
And what would you like to see them making a record about in the future?
I think I'd like to see them making one either about Eurostar or possibly about EasyJet or Ryanair.
And Chris, low-cost flying around Europe, is this a subject worthy of your heroes?
Well, they seem to have made music about all sorts of odd things, so it wouldn't surprise me if low-cost travel, maybe cross-channel ferries or something like that would be their next project.
This is Resonance 104.4 FM. You're listening to The Bike Show. Next week we'll be with David Ferry, the artist and cyclist, in the studio talking about cycling, talking about hardcore time trialing, talking about art and where art meets the bicycle. And the week after that, I'll be joined by Jeremy Deller, the recent winner of the Turner Prize, who dedicated his victory last month to everybody who cycles in London. He's coming into the show to talk about cycling and the influence of that on his life. I just have to thank Maisie Hitchcock and Chris Bloor for joining me. You've been listening to The Bike Show, and we'll be back at the same time next week.